Everyone, welcome. We are live here today. Yep, April 11th, 2024. Hello to everybody that's jumping on right now in the United States and around the world. Welcome, welcome. We are so glad to have you here in this community of believers, and we welcome you and we thank you for coming in. And to our moderators and Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. We have a lot to cover today. I've actually broken it up kind of into two parts, and the second part will be next week. But we have a lot to cover today. There's a lot going on that the Lord has had me go back and look at, and I have seen patterns that we have to talk about given the events that are happening. Given we are still in this 39-day window between Purim and Passover, we had the solar eclipse on April 8th, 2024. We are now marching within 14 days of Passover. Okay, so we're very, very close. In fact, I'll talk about this, but we're going to be doing a live Passover Seder. We're going to announce it next week, the date for the following week, but we're doing a live Seder. We'll be putting out a shopping list so you can join us, get everything, make your Passover meal, and join us live so we all do the Seder together. So what I'm going to do is open up in prayer. I just have a couple of things to go over quick, and then we'll get into everything we have to get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. Father, we humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. Father, we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. We acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly came to earth to die at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He set us free. He reconciled us back to the Father in heaven. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. And he miraculously rose again in 3 days. And after appearing to many, he ascended back into heaven, took his rightful righteous place at the right hand of the Father, victoriously ruling and reigning forevermore. He is our advocate day and night before your throne, Lord, and we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, to fill this place, Lord, that your power would saturate the atmosphere and go forth, that the weight of your glory would go forth, that people would tangibly feel your presence, Lord, that you would fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Go before us, Father God. Lead and guide us in your wisdom and counsel, Father. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, allow us the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Lord. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, witchcraft, word curse, harm, that the enemy, satanic agents, unclean spirits, weak willing vessels, puppets of the enemy, and the like would attempt right now. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. We command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. and it bound up and cast back to the dry places, Lord, in areas you have designated to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ, and not return or have anything sent in its place. Lord, take all the glory for yourself, Father. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay, Father. You are high and lifted up. The earth is your footstool. The earth is Hashem's footstool, Lord. And Father, you are the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. Let your name be glorified above all, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we love you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Amen and amen. Now, let me just get up my notes here that we're going to get to in a second, because there's a lot going on right now. Still, because remember, we're still in this window. We're still in this window. So that's important. All right. Couple of things at the beginning, though, and then we'll get into this as people are jumping on. So first thing first, our gala, our first Ark of Grace Sanctuary Gala is happening May 3rd, 2024 at the Links at Union Vale in LaGrangeville, New York. Tickets, you can purchase tickets by calling the phone number on the screen, emailing us at hello@arkofgrace-ministries.com. You can also see the Venmo right there as well. For more information, you could go to arkofgrace.org/events. And we hope to see you there. We're doing a meet and greet with the animals from 5 to 6 p.m. So you're going to meet some of the animals of the Ark up close and personal. And we're looking very forward to that. Also, I don't know if you've ever seen sheep get sheared, but it's spoken of, I believe, in scripture. Sheep have to be sheared. It's part of sheep. Well, Moses and Archie got sheared today by a professional. This man is wonderful. He's been doing this a long time. And so I took video for those of you who have never seen sheep get sheared before. Doesn't hurt the sheep at all. It actually relieves them of the four wool sweaters they are wearing on them as we come into spring. So here we go. We'll play the video for you. Oh, you're going to feel so much better. Oh, there we go. Simeon, it's all right, honey. So this is how they do it. They actually flip the sheep over and they get him sitting up and they just shear him.
This is how sheep get sheared.
Yep, and this is Archie. And there goes Noble. Take it off right out of the gate.
Oh, come to mama. Yep, there's Archie getting himself nice and sheared. You're going to feel so much better, bud.
Now, this doesn't hurt the sheep, but they have to restrain them in order for their own protection when they shear them, because there are a lot of sheep. They're big boys.
And we have professionals. So here you go.
There's Moses peeking like, I know I'm next, Bob, and I don't want to go.
Oh, yes. Oh, there you go. Look at all your wool. We're going to bag it up.
Now it comes off.
Yep. It's all right, bud.
This is probably not the most, this is a very vulnerable position for a sheep, but it's the way to shear them. Yeah. And he was
it's
so
okay,
patient.
Simeon. Mama's going to come to you in a minute. There we go. It's process.
And here's Moses now. They caught Moses.
And there's Moses.
And they got him.
Getting sheared. It's all right, bud. You're going to feel like a new man. We can go look at Archie.
Yeah, the shearer, he's very good.
You want to see Archie's before and after? Oh, there is Archie. Look how handsome you look. There he goes.
But this is how you shear sheep. And
it's
Moses
all right,
is
bud.
A big boy.
This
he's
must
bigger
be
than
done,
Archie.
Honey. It must be done. You're going to feel so good after this, like you lost 25 pounds.
And he shears it like off in a big blanket.
Yep.
You see how it comes off?
Body.
That's how wool comes off when it's sheared.
Here it is. He is a big boy. Moses is a big, big boy.
Look at that. It just like he goes right
Fun
under
fact,
and
Moses
it comes.
Was born
it just
during
peels.
Passover 2 years ago without spot or blemish.
Yep. And his mom rejected him. That's how we got him here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look
Moses
at this.
Moses was enjoying this spa moment, wow, by the way, a little too much. He was just laying there all night.
There's Moses. He's almost done. Yep. All of that was on
Look
his
at
body.
That. Comes off in a blanket.
And now we're going to find somebody who
That's
wants it.
That's a good cure.
Oh, Moses. Look beautiful. You look like a new man. You're going to be so happy.
And there you go. If you've never seen sheep sheared, well, that's how it's done. And they are so cool right now. Honestly, we're coming into warmer weather here in New York. It had to be done. And so, yep, there's Moses after. Yep, nice and clean and white once again. And there, oh, that's Archie. Oh, now this is Archie before the shearing. He looks like a rabbi, if you notice, because he's got the little tendrils hanging down like he's wearing a tallit. So Archie, every year, looks like a rabbi right before he gets sheared because his breed of sheep actually sheds. So he begins to shed before the shear, and he ends up looking like a rabbi. So, and thank you to our shearer. That was amazing, and he does it within minutes. I mean, the sheep aren't that way. Literally 4 minutes or less, the shearing is done. So it's not a lot of stress to the sheep either. We would never allow that. But fascinating to watch. Wanted to tape it to show all of you. And, you know, good biblical lesson. I will probably tie that into a biblical lesson at some point because there's sometimes we walk around and we get a lot of heaviness on our lives and a lot of heavy things. And then the Lord, the shepherd, comes with the shearers and says, it's time for all of it to come off. And he turns us over and he gets us in a position we're not comfortable in. And he begins to shear it off and take it off of our lives. So really, really good teaching point there. Okay, let's get into tonight because you're going to find some fascinating things as I go forth tonight about what has gone on over history. Also, there were two very significant deaths surrounding April 8th that we are going to be talking about because it has to be talked about. Because if you're you know, somebody who watches everything, especially in this window, we see more and more things happening in this window. We're actually be talking about next week. Egypt did something right under our noses during the eclipse, and we're going to get into what has been going on in Egypt over the past few years that actually America needs to pay really close attention to. We're getting into that next week as well. Also, Wednesday, mark your calendar because Rudy Giuliani will be with us on Ark of Grace live at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yes, Mayor Rudy Giuliani is coming on Ark of Grace. We will be announcing it, of course, but mark your calendars. Okay, so I want to go to an excerpt from a word from the Lord, February 9th, 2020. This is where we're going to begin. And this is what it says. Phenomena will break out across the earth that will be compared to biblical events. They will be very similar in nature. Get ready, says the Lord, for what Pharaoh witnessed at the hand of Almighty God, the countries that have hardened their hearts and are serving a false version of me will see these biblical phenomena break out, and it will be historical, says the Lord thy God, this day. Now, I touched on this, but we have to go a little bit more into this because here's the headline. So we have this from ABC News, and it says, after the eclipse, nature's next big show, the cicada double emergence. Now, this is what it says. The sight and sound of trillions of cicadas, which people call flying beetles. I mean, that's a nickname for them. They're called flying beetles. Trillions of cicadas surfacing across much of America, a massive invasion. Now, isn't this interesting? As we're having a soft invasion at the border, we're having now what they call an invasion of cicadas. A massive invasion of two separate groups called broods emerging at the same time has scientists buzzing.
For the first time in more than 200 years, two broods, brood XIX, known as the Great Southern Brood. Wow, that's really close to Great Southern Border, isn't it? That's pretty close. And brood XIII, known as the Northern Illinois Brood, will emerge from the ground simultaneously. Central Illinois will be one of the few regions that will experience the double brood emergence, entomologists predict. The greatest likelihood of contact between the two broods is near Springfield, they're predicting. So we've got this invasion of trillions of cicadas that has not happened in over 200 years, happening in an eclipse year, happening in an election year. Happening at the same time, we have an invasion going on at our border of military age fighting men. Don't let them fool you. These are not all families with young children looking for a better life coming in. These are military men that are of fighting military age that are coming in through the border. So it's interesting that these two things sort of are converging. Right in this same year. Now, we're going to put a map up for you to show you something very interesting. Now, this is the map, and I've shown this before, of the three eclipses, right? You have the X is comprised of the 2017 eclipse that went from Oregon, right, down to the southeast. And you've got the 2024 eclipse that goes up from Mexico all the way past New York into Maine and Nova Scotia. That makes the X. The other one was the 2023 annular eclipse that happened in October. That actually makes the Hebrew letter Aleph over the United States of America, which stands for the revelation and presence of God in the earth. Okay. However, I want you to look at the X. Look at where the X for the two eclipses converges. Right about central Illinois, where these trillions of cicadas, the two broods, are going to converge right in the X where the two solar eclipses have converged over the past 7 years. And this event has not been seen in 200 years. Thomas Jefferson was president last time this event happened. That is no coincidence. These things don't just happen. So very interesting that Illinois was not only at the center of that X for the eclipse, but it is at the center of these two enormous broods of cicadas converging together. So just keep this in mind that this is happening, and keep your eyes on Illinois all the way to the governorship. Oh, in Chicago, keep your eyes on this state right now with what is happening. There is about to be a massive overturning in the state of Illinois. So now let's go to February 18th, 2022. And says the Lord thy God, this day you will see in this nation and around the world unusual events that defy science, that defy nature, and that defy what leaders say. And they're even going to be described as unusual events. Well, something only comes around once every 200 years, I would call an unusual event. These things never happen. Never's in capital. That's what the Lord is saying. These people are going to say, these things never happen. Because I, the Lord thy God, in this hour am demonstrating my might. I am putting on a demonstration. If Pharaoh wants a demonstration he will receive in this hour, says the Lord thy God. Now, this goes to what we're going to talk about next week, too. So we're going to look at this again. If the pharaohs of this world want a demonstration, if they want to stiffen their necks and dig in their heels, then I, the Lord thy God, shall put on a demonstration in this hour that is going to contain uncanny events, events that will baffle science, events that will baffle the government, events that will baffle the people, events that are going to baffle the wicked, because I am frustrating their cords in this hour. I am breaking their cords. I am frustrating them. I am tying them up with it, and I am removing them, says the Lord thy God, this day. Well, that is exactly what's going on here with this convergence of trillions that they're calling an invasion of cicadas. That language is no mistake, in running parallel to what we see happening in our nation right now. Okay, now, staying on the solar eclipse, wait till you see where we're going to go with this, because this gets really deep and really interesting. Now, we have a news article from CBS. See the full list of past total solar eclipses in the U.S. since 1778. The first recorded total solar eclipse was in 1778, according to NASA, just a few short years after the United States became an independent country. The eclipse was visible from the Carolinas to New England and was noted by historical figures like Thomas Jefferson, who happened to be the president the last time these cicadas came around, according to Mount Vernon. The museum established in former President George Washington's estate, troops in Washington's army also noted the event. So we're going to go and go down this list a little bit because there is a very interesting thread. And I'm going to tell you something interesting too. The word NASA, if you look up NASA in Hebrew, it's an acronym, for North Atlantic. I understand that. But if you just look up the word NASA in Hebrew, it actually means to deceive, seduce, or lead astray. And after they fired those rockets named after an Egyptian serpent deity that embodies darkness and disorder, I would say that probably can be very fitting that at times NASA most definitely appears to be doing that. So let's look at this for a minute. I'm going to read to you part of this before we get into the list, because there are things with each eclipse that there is a common thread leading up to now. On April 8th, a total solar eclipse will visit parts of 15 U.S. states, beginning in northwest Mexico and ending in Atlantic Canada. For those in the path of totality, the moon's shadow, which will be 115 miles wide, equals 7. 1 plus 1 plus 5 equals 7. It has been 7 years since this eclipse came around. Totality will last up to 4 minutes and 26 seconds. 4 plus 2 is 6 plus 6 is 12. 12 has to do with government and rule. The U.S. has not seen a total solar eclipse with that duration of totality for 218 years. So the totality of 4 minutes and 26 seconds has not been seen in this nation for 218 years. We have to go back to June 16th, 1806 to find an eclipse that had more than 4.5 minutes of totality visible from the U.S. and Canada, said Dan McLown from eclipse2024.org. There have been plenty of total solar eclipses in the U.S. since then, but never one with as long a totality. For some U.S. states that experienced the 1806 total solar eclipse, April 8th will be the first time since. Okay. This is what happened back then. So 1806, right? This is the last time this kind of totality happened. In mid-June 1806, the U.S. hadn't even celebrated 20 years since the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson was the nation's third president. So these cicada broods came together around the time that Thomas Jefferson was in office. Okay, so just to give you a reference point. Having explored the Louisiana Purchase and reached the Pacific, Lewis and Clark were heading home. U.S. relations with Great Britain became increasingly rocky during the period. On June 22nd, 1807, the HMS Leopard bombarded and forcibly boarded the USS Chesapeake of Norfolk, Virginia, in search of British Navy deserters. President Jefferson responded with an embargo on all foreign trade in an effort to weaken the British economy. The embargo was extremely unpopular in New England, where the economy was heavily dependent on trade with Britain. Moreover, the British economy was not strongly affected by the embargo, which proved difficult to enforce. In early 1809, one of his final acts as president, Jefferson replaced the embargo with the Non-Intercourse Act, which allowed trade with other nations except Britain and France. So basically, Britain and France were at war during this time, and they were trying to pull America in. Doesn't this sound familiar to what we see going on in the world right now? The last time an eclipse of this magnitude with this totality happened is 1806. Around this time, Britain and France were going at it, okay, with each other, and were in war, and the U.S. was trying to be sucked into this in one way or another. And that's why Jefferson tried to put an embargo on both of them and said, as long as you two don't play nice together, we ain't trading with either of you, basically what was the gist of it. Now, 1869, we're going to jump to 1869 and we're going to go through, because there is a common thread of these very serious events happening on Earth when these eclipses happen. And we're going to get into a couple of other things too. But in 1869, okay, is when the next total solar eclipse was recorded. The path of totality stretched from Alaska to the Carolinas, according to NASA. And they published photos of the event in Harper's Magazine. So that was the next one after this huge 1806 eclipse, okay? This was the next one that happened. 1878 was the next one after that. So 8 years later, 1878, the next total solar eclipse occurs. Path of totality goes from Alaska through Louisiana. It was studied by an all-women team of astronomers, according to the Park Service. And Thomas Edison himself traveled to see the event, bringing scientific equipment to study the sun's corona during the eclipse. Now, so this eclipse happens in 1878. July 12th, 1878, the yellow fever epidemic begins in New Orleans and it kills 4,500 people. So the year that this 1878 eclipse happens, an epidemic hits and ends up killing 4,500 people. Now, it only gets bigger from here. You go to 1900, right? The first eclipse of the 20th century was in 1900. The path of totality was from, brought it over to Wadesboro, North Carolina. Okay. 1918 is where it gets interesting. So the next eclipse after that is June 1918. A total solar eclipse was visible from Washington to Florida. That is across the entire country, because I believe they're talking about Washington State. It was the last time a total solar eclipse would be visible across the entire continent for nearly 100 years. So 1918, last total solar eclipse to be seen across the continent for next 100 years. What happens? This total eclipse happens in June. August 27th, 1918, a border war breaks out. Does this sound familiar? A border war breaks out. It was called the Battle of Ambos Nogales. It was the U.S. Army forces that had clashes with Mexican Carrancitas at Nogales in Arizona, in the only battle of World War I fought on U.S. soil. So, eclipse happens, last of 100 years, right, to be seen across the continent, and a border war breaks out. Well, you have April 8th, 2024, 106 years later, the solar eclipse's path of totality, Eagle Pass, Texas, is in the path of totality where a border war broke out right before the eclipse. In the months leading up to this eclipse, a border war breaks out. Right? A clash at the border, the stopping the soft invasion that's happening, happens. It happened in 1918 too. It happened 2 months after the eclipse. This one happened to happen 2 or 3 months or so before the eclipse. So this is what I mean. There is a common thread here that things are coming full circle prophetically, and we need to take notice of that. Also in 1918. Okay, so before COVID-19, the most severe pandemic in recent history was the 1918 influenza virus, often called the Spanish flu. The virus infected roughly 500 million people, one-third of the world's population, and caused 50 million deaths worldwide, which is double the number of deaths in World War I. In the United States, a quarter of the population caught the virus. 675,000 people died. The life expectancy dropped by 12 years. There's that number 12 again, right? There's that number 12. With no inoculation to protect against the virus, this is what they're saying, people were urged. Let me tell you, this is 1918. This breaks out, right? After a month after the eclipse. People were urged to isolate, quarantine, practice good personal hygiene, and limit social interaction. Does this sound familiar to what we have been through in the past few years? This eclipse hits in June of 1918. By July, the Spanish flu hits the earth. And a third of the world's population gets infected. And 675,000 people in the United States alone die. And life expectancy drops by 12 years. And they tell them to isolate, quarantine, practice good hygiene, and limit social interaction. So it's about a month after the solar eclipse of 1918, the last of 100 years, that this hits the earth, that the Spanish flu hits the earth. Now, 1925. This was followed by another total solar eclipse. Okay, so in 1925, there's a total solar eclipse, but it's not seen across the country like the last one was. It was visible from Minnesota to New England. So half of the country was able to view this eclipse. The last one, the entire country could. And that was would be the last for 100 years. But in 1925, there was a total solar eclipse. And it was visible from Minnesota to New England. Now, July 4th of that year, 44 people die when the Dreyfus Hotel collapses in Boston. So the year of the eclipse, there is a very large collapse of a structure, okay? When it came to the April 8th eclipse, right before it, we had a bridge collapse. They had a complete hotel collapse. We had a bridge collapse. August 8th, 1925, the first march of the Ku Klux Klan takes place in Washington, D.C. The same year. Where could this be viewed from, this eclipse? Minnesota to New England. Okay, so this one hits the Northeast. It goes from Minnesota, it goes to the Northeast. And the first march of the Ku Klux Klan takes place in Washington, D.C., on August 8th. Now, the 1918 and 1925 solar eclipses are separated by 7 years, just like the 2017 and 2024 eclipse were. Keep that in mind. 1932. In August 1932, another total solar eclipse was visible in North America. The path of totality for this eclipse was mostly in Canada, but was visible in northern New England, including parts of Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts. Okay, November 8th. What happens in the United States on November 8th, 1932? United States president election happens. So United States presidential election occurs November 8th, 1932. Democratic governor of New York, Franklin D. Roosevelt, defeats Republican President Herbert Hoover in a landslide victory. A landslide victory. Also, a hurricane and huge waves kill about 2,500 in Santa Cruz del Sur in the worst natural disaster in Cuban history. So the year of this eclipse, these two things happen. Cuba has the worst natural disaster of their history, and November 8th, 1932, and I believe the election this year is November 8th. November 8th, 1932, Franklin D. Roosevelt, governor of New York, defeats Republican President Herbert Hoover in a landslide victory. Okay. All sounds reminiscent. All right. 1963. The next total solar eclipse in the U.S. wasn't until July 1963. This eclipse was visible in Alaska and parts of northern New England. Okay. On August 28, 1963, more than 200 demonstrators took part in the March on Washington for jobs and freedom in the nation's capital. The march was successful in pressuring the administration of John F. Kennedy to initiate a strong federal civil rights bill in Congress. Okay, so this eclipse takes place. It's seen over Alaska. It's seen over New England. It was November 22nd, 1963, that President Kennedy is assassinated in Dallas, Texas. Here comes Texas back into play. But it's the same year as this eclipse, November 22nd, 1963, President Kennedy is assassinated. Now, it gets more interesting from here. 1970. March of 1970, another total solar eclipse was visible from the coast of the Southwest United States. March 7th, 1970. A full solar eclipse happened, and New York was very near the path of totality. So New York, the way the path kind of went, New York was kind of near the path of totality. They had something called a major partial eclipse. 1 month after this eclipse happens, in 1970, April 10th, 1970, the New York Senate passed a law decriminalizing abortion. In most cases, Republican Governor Nelson A. Rockefeller signed the bill into law the next day. At the time, New York State was a Republican trifecta, meaning both chambers of the legislature and the governorship were Republican controlled. 34 days after this eclipse takes place, and New York has what's called a major partial eclipse during this, abortion is decriminalized in New York, and this enormous abortion battle begins. Now, 50 years later, there's the Jubilee, 50. Roe v. Wade is overturned. 50 is the Jubilee, right? Captives have to be set free. Land has to be given back to the people. Roe v. Wade is overturned. It kicks this issue back to the states. It took 50 years from the time of this. And this eclipse happens about a month before this major, major event that would affect the entire nation happens, of all places, in New York. Now, 1979. Now, you're going to laugh why I included this one. But 1979. The last eclipse of the 20th century took place. This eclipse was visible in the Pacific Northwest and parts of Idaho and the Dakotas, but the path of totality mostly went through Canada. That is 45 years ago this year. This eclipse was 45 years ago this year, okay? I was born in 1979. I was born the year of this eclipse. So it's kind of funny because the year the eclipse happened, I was born. So that was kind of amusing to see. But 45, right? I'm not quite there yet, that age, because of my birthday's not till August. But 45 years, 45, number 45, right? Isaiah 45, right? Trump was the 45th president. 45 years from this eclipse to today. What happened in 1979 besides me being born? What happened? Well, now this is where it gets wild, because number 45 had to do with rebuilding the wall, right? So Trump, the 45th president, ran on rebuilding the wall, right? And dealing with the and dealing with the border issue going on in the nation. Well, the year this eclipse happens, Pink Floyd released The Wall album, which I'm not a fan of Pink Floyd by any means, but it's interesting. They release an album this year of 1979 called The Wall. The USSR, Russia, invaded Afghanistan. So 45 years ago, Russia invades a country. right? What do we see going on right now? We see Russia and Ukraine going at it 45 years later. What else happened 45 years ago during the time of this eclipse? 63 Americans are taken hostage in the American embassy in Tehran. Well, what happened at the end of last year leading up to these events? Well, we had that horrible attack by Hamas on Israel, and there were many hostages taken, some of them American. So 45 years ago, you had an issue where Americans were taken hostage in Tehran. Number 45. Now, only two solar eclipses have been visible from the United States during the 21st century. The first was the total solar eclipse of 2017, which was visible across the country. This was the first time such an event had occurred since 1918, and millions gathered to watch. Okay, so like I said, those two dates, 1918 and 2024, is where the totality was the greatest of the eclipse being at its full, you know what I mean, where the moon is totally eclipsed. And okay, April 8th, 2024 eclipse was the next total solar eclipse visible in the U.S., across the entire U.S. The path of totality for this eclipse stretched from Texas to the Northeast. The eclipse started on Mexico's Pacific coast at just after 11 a.m. Pacific time before traveling across the U.S. and into Canada. The eclipse left North America around 5:19 p.m. Now, we won't see another one like this until August of 2044. So in August of 2044, we will see another total solar eclipse in North America. Until then, we will not. And in 1918, surrounding the eclipse was this border war issue. That happened April 8th, 2024, surrounding this eclipse, a border war issue. So things are most definitely coming full circle. We are seeing these things come full circle for good reason in this prophetic time, in this year. And it's probably we're going to see these things come full circle carrying past 2027. So that's what I believe. Carrying past 2027, we will see these things come full circle. Now, something else happened in the past few days. There were two very interesting deaths that happened surrounding this April 8th date. And so we're going to put up ABC's article for the first one. Peter Higgs, the physicist known for the Higgs boson God particle, dies at age 94. It looks like he died the day of the eclipse or early on the 9th. This is what this article is making it out, that he either died the day of the eclipse or early on the 9th. Nobel Prize winning physicist Peter Higgs, who proposed the existence of a so-called God particle that helped explain how matter formed after the Big Bang, has died at age 94. He was heavily involved in CERN. So CERN decided to turn on the Large Hadron Collider right before this eclipse. And the gentleman who they credit with discovering the God particle happens to die on the eclipse or early April 9th, okay, surrounding April 8th. So very interesting that this happened when it happened, because it could have happened at any other time. It happens after this Large Hadron Collider is turned on and literally paralleling the eclipse, this man dies. I pray he repented too. I pray he repented before God. He accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I really do. We don't know what happens to people in their last moments, you know, before they leave this earth, and what they go through with realizing who God is and what God is and who Jesus Christ is. But this happened all around the time of April 8th. Very interesting, considering CERN has decided to turn on that Large Hadron Collider again. Also, we just had this happen on April 10th, but O.J. Simpson, acquitted of murder, defendant and football star, dies at age 76. Now, I'm going to tell you what's interesting about both of these, okay? He dies at 76. 7 plus 6 is 13, right? Peter Higgs dies at 94. 9 plus 4 is 13. Both their ages equal the number 13. Do I think that's a coincidence? No, I don't. A couple of other things that have to do with this. Okay, so this happens 2 days after April 8th. 30 years ago was the famous police chase of OJ in that white SUV. 30. Now, why would 30 be significant into this? Well, 30 is the amount of pieces of silver Judas betrayed Jesus for. So Judas, to turn Jesus over and have him murdered, was given money, okay? And then you also add the two thieves on the cross. So the two thieves that were on the cross next to Jesus died in 30 AD, okay? So 30 years ago was the famous police chase. 30 is the amount of pieces of silver Judas betrayed Jesus for. And the two thieves on the cross with Jesus died 30 AD. Now, Luke chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Let's just look at it for a minute because we always like to bring scripture into this. I find bringing scripture into showing prophetic threads tends to help people learn and remember scripture. So this is many times why I do this also, because it tends to connect in people's minds when you teach this way. And so it actually helps you absorb scripture and be able to remember it because you're connecting it to something. So Luke chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Then Satan entered Judas, the one called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him and hand him over to them. They were delighted and agreed with him to give him money. So there was bribery going on here. We think the high priests were so holy. Nope, there was bribery to the hills going on for them to rid themselves of this problem they thought Jesus was, when he was really there to save their black corroded souls, because they were. He called them empty tombs. He actually called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Tombs made to look pretty. You want, in layman's terms, tombs made to look nice. Tombs that are prettied up, but you're empty. Okay, this is what he called them. Verse 6, so he consented and began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus to them, separated from the crowd. So basically, they looked for a time for Jesus to, that they could betray him at the time when he was separated from the crowd, in parentheses, because the people might riot or stop them from seizing him. So they looked, they exchanged money, and then they looked for an opportune time for themselves to harm him. So this is why these are very fascinating events surrounding what's going on right now. And nonetheless, these two deaths within this 39-day window between Purim and Passover. Purim, Eclipse, Passover. Passover is set to begin in 11 days on April 22nd, 2024. Okay, that's when Passover is set to begin. Mark your calendars for that time. Okay, we're going to talk about that more next week, but we are also going to do a live Passover Seder together, and we will announce next week and give you all the details on it. So there's a couple of other things here I want to talk about that I see happening right now. April 17th, 2020, in a word from the Lord, I'm going to read this excerpt because it has a lot to do with what's going on now. A dangerous game of Russian roulette being played by some in Congress. Isn't it interesting? He says Russian roulette. This is 2020, by the way, that this word is given, right? Amidst COVID, this word is given. A dangerous game of Russian roulette are being played by some in Congress, by ambassadors, by the UN. And a very holy, that's capital, bullet. So I don't think it means an actual bullet. I mean, it means an actual, like, you know, direct strike from the Lord. So this is the way this was put. Is going to be fired at them, says the Lord thy God, this day. They are getting more desperate, and watch as the Feast of Trumpets approaches, a desperate attempt that will sink their Titanic, says the Lord thy God, this day. What's interesting about that is the Titanic actually sunk, I believe, April 15th. And the word is given April 17th, 2020. Now, this has to do with now. This has to do with this time. Okay, so when this word was given, it was in the midst of what we were going through, right? And the scamdemic. And, but it has to do with now, right? What's happening with Congress? They are playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette right now. That is happening actively right now by ambassadors, by the UN, all doing it together, right? And what is the Lord going to do? His holiness is going to be as direct as a bullet dealing with them. That's basically, I believe, what that sentence means. But he also mentions the Feast of Trumpets, which is Rosh Hashanah, which is the Jewish New Year. And that happens in late September, most of the time, sometimes early October, but many times it's late September. And so for this year, since I am seeing what was written here back in 2020, which was about 4 years ago, and it's happening now, I would mark for this Rosh Hashanah because it's right before the election. We are going to be about a month and a half out from the election when Rosh Hashanah happens. Okay. Now, another thing. I have to reread this because I think those on the conservative side, some of them are being seduced by seducing spirits. Some of them have the wrong people in their ear. Some of them sound like schizophrenic cats yelling and screaming all the time, but never giving any real solutions. Okay. So we've got this interesting Algonquin roundtable happening on the conservative side right now. And I'm going to read again from March 30th, 2024, because I perceive to be the Lord highlighted this for me to get again, and he wants me to read it, because if you're going to talk about things of a biblical nature and about covenant nations, you better make sure you know Almighty God, and you better make sure you know his word, and you better make sure that this word was written by Jews, and you understand that, and you understand the deep connections within this book that only Almighty God could interweave and then make to today. And when you're dealing with a covenant nation that's in covenant with God, it is different than nations that are not in covenant with God. And so you're dealing with something that is directly God's property. You're dealing with a nation he has directly made an agreement with, right? The Lord made covenant with Israel. George Washington from New York made covenant with God for this nation, right? So God chose Israel. We chose God, basically. Okay. So it's like a mirror image. And when you're dealing with covenant nations, you have to be very careful how you speak of them. And I'll give you an example. And this was in the news, but one of the ministers of Turkey decided he was going to openly curse the covenant of Israel. And he was going to openly curse Israel. And he took three steps and he fell down dead. Three steps. He fell down dead on the stage. Why? Because there is an active covenant that is ratified in the realm of the spirit that God made with Abraham in the natural by making him cut animals in pieces. And the Lord passed through it because that was the earthly way you made covenant in that part of the world back then. And that covenant is active. And if a nation in covenant rebels against God, or does something they shouldn't, it is up to Almighty God to then come and rectify that, because he's the one in agreement with them. And I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to say a few more things here. But March 30th, 2024, recent word, right? This was at the end of the word. And says the Lord, the conservative voices. Your conservativeness does not mean you serve me, says the Lord. For many of you are strangers to me, says the Lord, both Jew and Gentile. Your conservativeness does not bring my wisdom, that's capitalized. Seek my capital wisdom in this hour. My capital wisdom, not knowledge, but my capital wisdom, and I shall repair what in your flesh you have damaged. This is the hour you come unto me, that's capitalized, meaning the Lord, or everything you have built shall fracture and split, and the time to heal shall be long. This is your warning. I, your shepherd, am calling out to the lost. Answer the call in all humility, and I shall grow a depth in you that truly convicts instead of just makes noise in an already too crowded room. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in Jesus' name. Now, the interesting thing about this is this issue on the conservative side has intensified over this 39-day window we're in between Purim and Passover. And the Lord in here is dealing with pride. Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. Because after he says about seeking his wisdom, he said, I shall repair what in your flesh you have damaged. This is your hour. You come unto me, or everything you have built shall fracture. So he's saying either you submit and you humbly come unto the Lord, or everything you have built. He's not saying he built it. He's saying you built it. Shall fracture and split, and the time to heal shall be long. And he said, this is your warning. I, your shepherd, am calling out to the lost. Answer the call in all humility. This is how we know he's dealing here with pride. And what's happened, I think, is some conservative voices have become too puffed up for their own good and not have become anchored enough into the word to understand how the Lord deals with covenant nations. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to pray for people. My goodness, we've got hostages. We've got children that have been killed. We've got, you know, war is horrible. Hate is horrible. Those that are possessed by demons, you have to fight that spiritually, right? To fight it physically. You've got Christians, right? You've got Christians in Israel that had to leave, that had to evacuate, right? You have Christians that live in Israel. You have Christians that are on the Palestinian side that had to evacuate. But we have to understand that God made a covenant with that land, and the parameters that he made when he made that covenant with Abram, right? When he made that covenant with Abraham, we haven't even realized those parameters yet. The parameters he made have not even been realized yet. So that is the Lord's land. And the Lord takes a great interest in the covenants he makes and the land that he has. Yes, the earth is the Lord's footstool, but there are certain pieces on this earth that the Lord takes a particular interest in. And when people don't understand how the Lord views things, and they don't understand covenant, and they don't understand the deep biblical roots, and it's all superficial for them, and they try to speak on these matters, they end up getting themselves in trouble ultimately. Because pride gets in the way, they puff themselves up, and on both sides, I'm talking about rabbis, pastors, conservative talk show hosts, reporters, I'm talking about the spectrum here. They puff up and they get themselves in trouble because they don't want to adhere to the parameters of this. They have influence, they have a platform, so therefore now they want to just say things out of emotion. Does God have emotion? Sure he does. But does he look at things ratified in the spirit? Of a legal nature and weigh them in his scales as the righteous judge before his throne? Yes, he does. He's very aware of what is happening over in the Middle East right now. More aware than you are. Because you're not seeing it from his view. He has a view of a block of time, how he sees things. And we have to understand that he is very aware of what's happening. He is very aware of how to deal with it. And also that the cup of iniquity have become full for certain groups that want to destroy what God has put in place. Amalek did it. And they paid the price for it. Saul didn't even listen to what God told them to do. That's how Haman got here. And the Jews faced genocide. They faced total destruction in the book of Esther. And the Lord saved them. But if you notice in the book of Esther, it was ratified. The king gave over his signet ring, and it was ratified by Mordecai and Esther themselves that the Jews could take up arms and fight on those days against who wanted to completely destroy them. Last time I checked, chanting death to Israel, and we're not going to stop till we've destroyed their whole nation, is genocide. That's also genocide. Don't hear many saying that, though. And we have to understand that the Lord has a personal interest in this. And there's a difference between having knowledge and being able to spit out facts and having the wisdom from God to see a situation from his perspective. Let me tell you, the Lord grieves every time a child dies, whether it's Jew, Gentile, Palestinian, Russian, or by abortion, the Lord grieves. He grieves. We have to understand that. He does grieve. But also, he was the God that ordered the total destruction of Amalek. He was the God that ordered the total destruction of the Canaanites. Do you know why? Because he couldn't take what they were doing to children, filling them with such hatred for the Jews and sacrificing them on altars to Baal and Molech. And if you look at it from God's perspective, where he could stop it at that moment and children would not be sacrificed there anymore, or he let it continue and he just wiped out one generation and the next generation came up and did the same thing, what would you do as God the Father? What would you do? You see, that's looking at it from God's perspective and understanding how grieved he was with the amount of blood that had seeped into the land from filling children with such pagan hatred for the things of God, and then on top of it, sacrificing them. And God had a choice to make. And he ordered himself the complete destruction of Amalek. Everyone in it. And Saul didn't listen. And he spared the best of the livestock. And he spared King Agag. Which we're going to get into next week. Because that spirit has done something very crafty. And the Lord made sure I caught it. But he spared Agag. And Agag assaulted a Jewish maidservant. Why? Because the Amalekites have no regard for the life of Jews. Okay? So she was raped, and the line of Haman came from that. Out of Saul's disobedience of not destroying Amalek, Haman was raised up and tried to commit a genocide. So we have to understand, when we read God's word and really get into it, and we ask God, why would you do this? We start to understand that. When we go, gee, God, why would you spare Nineveh? They were sacrificing children. The temple of Ishtar were there. Men were dressing up as women. Think transgenderism's a new issue? In ceremonies. Why? He says it in Jonah chapter 4 at the end. Because not only did Nineveh humble themselves because a full solar eclipse happened right before Jonah showed up and announced judgment, and the whole nation humbled itself before God, but there was 120,000 innocent children that were not of the age of accountability and animals that were in Nineveh that the Lord did not want to destroy. So he gave them a chance to repent first. He also gave Amalek and the Canaanites and the Hittites and all the Ites the same chance. He gave them the same chance. He gave Jericho that chance, and Rahab was the only one in Jericho who had enough going on up here to realize that if she did not side with the Jews, because God had already set Jericho for destruction, that if she did not help them because God was with them, that she and her family were going to die. So what did she do? She hid the spies, she helped them, she saved them, and for that, God spared her life, because he's a just God. He's a just God. Her life and the life of her family was spared. Ruth, involved in false idol worship, in child sacrifice, turned from it all, followed Almighty God Hashem, Naomi's God, and the Lord had such mercy on her that she was the great-grandmother of King David, because he's a just God. See, we forget that he's a just God, and he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever, and he will be just again in these situations going on in the earth. He's a just God. And I think we forget that sometimes. And we want to say, people can't defend themselves from those that want to completely destroy them. And they can't, they don't have a right to mount up. I'm going to say this. You cannot talk about this nation and the soft invasion at the border and say we have to get out these people that are invading at the border because they're going to try to harm us and destroy us. You cannot be double-minded, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and say that, and at the same time say Israel has no right to defend itself and rid itself of the wickedness that has put down roots there and invaded there. You have no right to say in this nation we should remove all those coming across the border because they're invading our nation and they're going to harm us and they're violent and they're going to take up arms and they're being flooded across to do us harm, not good. You cannot make that argument and then stand there and say Hamas is not intent on doing the same to Israel, therefore Israel cannot defend itself. That's being double-minded. That's being double-minded. If you're going to say it for this nation, then other nations have a right as well to defend themselves against total wickedness coming across their borders that are filled with a demonic hate that comes from the pits of hell. And you know what the Lord does with that? He eradicates it. Biblically speaking, if you look at it, he eradicates it. And biblically speaking, when Israel got involved in this kind of sacrifice, the Lord put heavy judgment upon them and allowed the Assyrians and the Babylonians to come in and siege them and tear down their cities, because he's a just God and because there's a covenant and therefore he has a personal interest in it. So I'm just saying that people really need to have a come to Jesus moment and a powwow with the Lord and get right with him about how he feels about covenant and get arguments on the same page. Because I know that I saw mermaids wrapped around the trunk of people, which are seducing spirits, and I saw them. And that is coming back into play now because we're getting emails about it. We're getting emails about it. And the Lord says about Israel, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Does that mean you have to agree with what crazy rabbis say or crazy pastors say? No, you don't have to agree with it. You have to agree with what the government does. But you have to honor that there is a covenant in place that God takes a personal interest in. And if you're concerned about the invasion coming across our border and want, you know, Trump, you know, he's elected, you want him to clean it out, you cannot turn around and say Israel can't do the same. You can't do that because it's double-mindedness. And I'm just saying the Lord is going to gut that in this hour. He is going to gut the double-mindedness. He is going to gut the pride. He's going to bring it down to the hallows. And he's warning here, what you built is going to fracture if you don't seek my wisdom in this. Not your knowledge and who's chirping in your ear right now with their agendas. Because I am for the Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach is my Lord and Savior. But I also understand covenant. And that we as Christians are and Messianic Jews, we're grafted into the covenant that God made with Abraham. We are literally grafted in. We're adopted. So we have the same rights, right? We're adopted in legally by God. We didn't replace anybody. We got adopted. And we have to understand that and understand that Satan launched his first offensive on earth in the Middle East. And he launched that propaganda in the Garden of Eden. And that was where the first great reset took place. And he launched it through the serpent, and he launched it in the Garden of Eden in the Middle East. And he launched it there. And he deceived Eve and deceived Adam into turning against what God told them is true. If you eat of this, you will not die. Your eyes will be opened. You'll become woke. Knowing good from evil. No, you will get a very twisted, perverted good from evil if you eat that corroded fruit. If you eat that fruit of deception. And the first propaganda campaign ever launched against the people of God was in the Middle East in the Garden of Eden. And Satan has been after it ever since. Why? Because Satan wants to steal covenants that God makes with people in this earth. He wants to steal it, destroy it, take it for his own, use you as a means to his end, and then dispose of you. So those of you on the conservative side need to think good and hard about that right now. Because if you become a voice for him and not even know it, he will dispose of you as quick as he used you. This is why the Lord is saying, this is your warning. Your shepherd is calling. You come to me now in all humility. And I will grow a depth and conviction in you, he says, that truly convicts instead of just makes noise in an already too crowded room. Think about that. That's what I'm going to end with. I felt the Lord all over that. I did. The Lord just, because this is something that the Lord is grieved about, that he's watching happen on a side that claims they are for God, right? That they stand for God's values. Do you even know what they are if you stand for them? You better make sure you know what they are and you know what a covenant is and you know how covenant works. And you know why God made it with Abraham and why Washington made it from New York with God for the United States of America. Because that is God's personal ratified document and agreement. And that is something the enemy wants and thirsts for. And he will use whoever he can to try to get it and to try to turn opinion and to try to get a hold of the airwaves and to try to put forth the song of the serpent into the airwaves. So just think about that. Just think about that. Praise the Lord. All glory be to God. Okay. This is where we're going to end for tonight. Woo, I'm sweating. I am sweating right now. Okay, because I'm heating up because when the presence of the Lord comes in and the Spirit of the Lord comes on me, I start heating up. So praise the Lord for that. And this is where we're going to end for tonight. So I'm going to just put a couple of things up real fast. And then we're going to talk about if I have it up. Let me see if I have it up because I will bring it up very fast. The Heavenly Haven campaign. So we'll bring this up very fast. And you can go to arcofgrace.org to learn more. We are expanding the sanctuary and we are fulfilling the commission of Mark 16:15 to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if you would like to learn more, you can call the phone number. You can email us at hello@arcofgrace-ministries. Okay. Also, we're going to put up Rafa Rafa is something I personally did with Dr. Sherwood. This is Rafa for women. I'm hoping to do a Rafa for men. Women suffer in certain areas of their body, you know, with fatigue, with brain fog, mood swings, night sweats, things of that nature. And Rafa is meant to help with that. So it is meant to be a support to your body. It is all natural. It is named Rafa because that means healer in Hebrew. And God is our Jehovah Rafa. He is the God that heals. And he has put in the earth what we need to help heal our bodies and make them whole. And also we'll put up my pillow very quick. Mr. Mike Lindell, there's Duchess, pig in a blanket. You can go to mypillow.com and use promo code ARC to save up to 66% or sometimes more off of all MyPillow products. They had some amazing specials going on pillows as well. So you might want to stock up now. So you can go to mypillow.com, use promo code ARC. They're having an 80% off summer savings as well. All right. God bless everyone. Keep the faith. We love you. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it. There is something with that psalm, and I'm hoping to get to it next week. Also, Psalms 1, 23, 34, and 35. All amazing to speak. The word is living and active. We have to activate it. Also, Ephesians 1 and 3. Not only read those chapters, but they're in the believer's authority. And I quote scripture from those chapters in Ephesians every single day, as well as the Lord's Prayer. There is an order to that prayer that is so important for us as believers to develop. And so I encourage you as well to say the Lord's Prayer. And we will be back on next week, barring nothing crazy happens tomorrow, but we will be back on next week. I'm hoping to come on Monday. And then we have Rudy Giuliani, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, coming on Wednesday to Ark of Grace. Very excited about that. So thank you everyone for joining us. We love you. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we will see you next week. God bless. Hello everyone, Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rafa for women. Rafa means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rafa is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rafa today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to mypillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARC. It is an alternative to Big Pharma based on quantum physics. Over 40 scripture verses written into these patches for everything from blood sugar, anxiety, pain, neuropathy, to immune system boost, dog pain. They are very sincere about having alternatives to Big Pharma.
We are a big advocate of natural solutions to help with pain and blood sugar and a host of other issues.
I tried the pain patches and they worked when I used them.
When you connect it to your body, the skin patch changes your brainwaves.
Sugar, this one is neuropathy. I actually have it on. And we use this on Toby, actually, because Toby's about 8 years old. And from being paralyzed years ago and the Lord miraculously healing him, he has a little leftover with his joints and his hips. So we actually give him the doggy pain patches. What was he doing? He was running?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I plucked him out. And wow, he's boom. And he got power. I said, no way. And I don't know. I said, Amanda, what
did you do to him?
To Toby? So it's good.